Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5-106.3 The Game on this Friday. We're at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Appreciate them for having us here as always. We'll be back in our 9 to 11 time slot starting Monday, followed by DVD. So a little switcheroo this week with SEC Media Days and all that. Hope to have Chris Sanders join us here in just a few minutes. As we try to catch up with him and talk some Titans, because this is it. This is the last weekend, and then it's training camp time.
You know, everything, the content will be filled with Titans. What's going on? How's Cam Ward looking? What's this guy? How's that guy? And all that. But it's league-wide. I mean, everybody reports to camp this week and get
well,
it done.
Some have already reported, I think, because the Hall of Fame game is July 31st.
Is it?
Thursday, July 31st, the Chargers and the Lions in the Hall of Fame game.
Oh, God. Hall of Fame game's terrible. It's so bad.
I know. And you know what? It shouldn't be. Like, that should be celebrated. That should be a really cool thing. But it's with it being the first preseason game, it's always bad.
It's just nobody plays. And I get it, and I understand all that. But
should they
just
move it? Should they do it, like, later in the preseason where you might actually see somebody?
Maybe. I don't know. Who was it last year, the Jets, or 2 years ago, Rodgers didn't play any, and it was just so bad. So I don't know, man. It's one of those things where, I mean, it's like, oh, but it's football. You ain't watching that nonsense.
Saturday, August 9th, will be the Titans at Tampa Bay.
So that's 3 weeks.
Yeah. Isn't that nuts?
Oh, that's great. And speaking of that, that's a good point.
I actually might be at a so I'm going on a baseball trip that weekend to Minnesota. We may actually swing through Houston at the Vikings. It's on that day.
Swing.
Go to some of the games.
I'm like, how are you getting to Houston from Minnesota? Good for you, man.
Yeah.
Who's on the little boys trip?
Ryan Porth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Robbie going?
No, Robbie's not going.
Oh, why do you invite Robbie?
We did. He's staying back.
Because he grew up.
Okay.
He said, he said, I'm a man now. I don't need this.
Maybe.
I'm a man.
All right. You can move on.
I don't want to. What baseball game are you seeing?
The Twins and I forgot who they're playing. The Twins.
Okay. Heard it's a fun ballpark up there.
Yep.
Thanks for asking. All right, we're good.
You were going to make a point, and then you started making fun of me. So
that's harsh, man. Easy. I want to see Cam Ward play the first half of every preseason game.
I do, too. Not going to happen, but I want to see it, too.
And if he gets hurt, he gets hurt.
I want to see the O-line, you know, play as much as possible.
Yeah.
So
I mean, in the day when they had six preseason games, people played. Guys played games. None of this nonsense sitting out there. The game has gotten so soft, and that's a reason why these exhibition games. Well, he gets hurt. If you go into the mindset of a game that somebody's going to get hurt, they're probably going to get hurt. So stop talking about that. Just let him play ball. Go out there and get it done. That's it. That's all you got to do, man. I want to see him in all three. Who is it? It's the Buccaneers, Falcons.
Yep.
What's the third one?
Vikings.
Vikings. Here. Vikings here, yeah. So I want to see that. Let him play.
So they play the 9th, the 15th, and then the 22nd, and that's the preseason.
Okay.
And then they have the week off, and then.
And I want to see the third. I want to see him lead the team out of the tunnel into the second half. But you got your number one pick. Prepare him for the Broncos game. Just tell him, don't run. Throw the ball away. It's okay to throw the ball in the stands.
Sure.
There's a great interview with Peyton Manning talking about his first year, and Jim Moore's like, don't be a superhero.
Yeah.
I don't care if you throw a complete pass to the guy in the 10th row.
And what did Peyton Manning do his rookie year?
Threw more interceptions than anybody rookie ever.
Yep.
And did that.
And that's the other thing. I don't have a problem if he does that. Like, if Cam, you know, is trying to make a play and he's not, you know, just doing something stupid like Levis did last year.
Yep.
But actually, like, throwing it downfield and actually, you know, they're actually letting him go into the playbook. And
right.
And he turns the ball over, then okay, learn from it.
Yep. That's the great thing. When Favre took over in 92 in Green Bay when Don Majkowski got hurt, he came in and they beat the Bengals. Boomer was a quarterback. Majkowski got hurt. Favre comes in, rallies the team in to win. And he threw interception. I remember he's talking about one of his football lives, said, what did, you know, you threw interception. How'd you feel? He's like, I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
And him and Holmgren got on the same page. Like, all right, we know this is going to happen. But we also know you're going to throw some touchdown passes and make things happen. He built him up with confidence. Mike Holmgren is one of the greatest football coaches of all time. From Bill Walsh, Andy Reid learned from Mike Holmgren. And there's a reason these guys are iconic coaches. So they built the confidence. That's Brian Callahan's main job.
Yeah,
build the confidence in Cam Ward, and then the sky's the limit.
Was it Danny Warfield that we talked to that talked about that their starter threw four interceptions and he got in and threw three?
Florida versus Kentucky in 93, yeah. Which is a monumental game in the history of Florida football because they were down and got beat. But he said, you got to go in and take chances.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the Monday night football game when Favre's father passed away in 2003.
Yeah.
He threw some terrible passes, but my goodness, he threw some beautiful passes,
right,
and they won the game. You got to believe in your quarterback. You can't restrict your quarterback, and that's the problem.
I am the thing that I think coaches, and they do it so much nowadays, is they're overprotective. They coach scared. They're scared that the guy's going to get hurt. They're scared that the guy's going to make a mistake, and it's like, just play football.
Yeah.
Just let him. If he makes a mistake, he makes a mistake. Teach him.
But it's a good point. But you go back to look Will Levis's mistake versus the Bears.
Sure.
I would have much rather Will Levis thrown a 130-mile fastball into the Bears' head instead of that flip.
Yeah,
intercept.
100%.
Because then that's just stupidity. There are errors, there are mistakes, and there are stupidity. And Will Levis hit all three categories. That's why he's not the starting quarterback, why he will never be a starting quarterback in the National Football League. You can't do stupid things.
Well, because he did it that time, they gave him the benefit of the doubt of like, hey, don't do it again. Here's what you did wrong. Tried to teach him, and then he kept making those mistakes, and so they benched him. That's the thing.
Right.
I don't care if you make a mistake.
Oh.
You learn from those. If you keep making the same one, though, and not learning from it, then you got a problem.
Then he comes back here in week two versus the Jets and scribbled or pushed the ball out to Tajay Spears. Just stupidity plays. We're tired of that. Make a mistake. I mean, the coach always told me, high school, college, all those. If you're going to make a mistake, 100%. If you're going to make a mistake, make a mistake.
Sure.
Give me everything you got. Stupidity is not allowed. And that's what Will Levis was. So with Cam Ward, unleash him. Let him go. And I guarantee you, 99% of the people on the text line, Titans fans, will agree the same way. Let him go. Here you go, man. Make it happen. He did it in Incarnate Word. He did it in Washington State. He did it last year in Miami. Three different systems, three different cities, three different head coaches. Let him. He can make it happen. Let him go. Let's see what he can do.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com as the Titans get ready for training camp coming up next week. Do you think they're going to – I haven't even looked to see, like, who's still out there and available. But, I mean, what positions do they need to work on still?
How much longer we got in the show? Who are you going to add now? Why hasn't somebody already been added to a team? You're not going to add anything.
Well, because, you know, they're probably asking for too much.
Yeah. So you go to camp with what you got, and let's roll with it. Let's believe in the guys you got there. You brought them in. You brought them in for a reason. Let's see and let's go. There are a lot of holes. There's a lot of competition for this football team that I had in 2025 for the Titans. Let them go and fight for this. Let them fight for the competition and see what you got. There's some pieces in. Latham,
sure.
Skoronski. I think Gunnar Helm, it could be a hell of a tight end out of Texas. Good job there. Can Ridley show us what he did in Jacksonville? There were moments Ridley was really good.
Ridley was, I think, towards the end of last year when they got him involved more, Ridley was good.
Yeah.
He was over 1,000 yards. Build off of that.
Tyler Lockett.
Same thing.
Now you got experience.
And then you need one of these guys, whether it's, you know, DK or
Jefferson,
you know, Restrepo, whoever. You need one of those guys, one of the rookies, to do something.
That's it. Yeah, pretty good team.
And I'm not saying go for 1,000 yards or whatever, but be productive.
Pollard's good.
Yep.
I think Pollard's a top 10 running back in the National Football League. And then, you know, if the guy at right tackle, I always get his name wrong, was it Ben Jones Jr., who the guy they signed from the Steelers? What's his name, Dr. Crane, the right tackle they got? Roy Moore?
Dan Moore Jr.
Dan Moore Jr., DMJ. There we go. I got it now.
Buongiorno today.
They get Dan Moore Jr. over there.
I just can't wait to get him on the show, Dr. Crane, and, like, he sits down and – Joe goes, we're joined by Ricky Connick Jr. here.
I'm a Zero Dan, by Dan Mongiuro.
Jr., whatever his
Speaking
name
of Mongiuro, I got to get that refilled today. Anyway, I need to make a note of that. But, no, you got some pieces now. So, you know what's happening, and go forward and do it. It's just that I think we should unleash and make that the thing. Cam Ward, go make mistakes. Go win games. Go have fun. What did he say when he made the pass at Combine in Miami? When he rolled out the bootleg to the left, he threw the ball down the field, and Borgonzi's there, and Brinker's there, and Callahan's there. He said something like, you know, I'm your man now, or whatever he said. I was like, ah, yeah, I like that.
He said, I solidified the first pick overall, yeah.
There we go. Do it, man. Have the confidence. I want a cocky quarterback. I don't want a Mariota coming in here. I don't want that. The Pavia comment. What happens when everything goes to hell? Pavia says, remember, you got me. What he told the 10 guys on offense. You got me. I heard that. I'm like, yes, that's what I want to hear from a quarterback. Not like, oh, man, we got to learn better and watch better and get better film. But I don't want to hear that nonsense.
Play better, coach better.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, hell yeah, we're going to go out there. That's what made Brady so good. He believed when he got out there he was going to make it happen. Tom Brady never had. He had one elite receiver in his entire career. Damn good one, but he was only there like 3 years. That was Randy Moss. Brady believed in his guys. I like that. That's what Cam Ward could do, man.
Coming up next, I believe we will have Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, join us on the program. It's Chasing Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, where we are today, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel here at Kitchen Notes. And we say hello to Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, who is on the line with us. Chris, we've been talking so much SEC football this week that to talk a little Titans. Yeah, we've been at SEC Media Days.
What about the Big Ten, man? Come on, we need the Big Ten in this area. What are we doing?
Yeah, we're good. We're okay. I will tell you this. Have you been to the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta?
No, I heard it's off the chain, man.
Dude,
it's a beautiful sight.
It's so cool. I'll send you a picture that I took of. They have Ohio State in the Ohio State, since they won the Natty this year, they have like a big thing for them. But they have, when you walk in, every helmet of every college program, a four-year program in America hanging up there. I mean, it's fantastic.
That is cool, man. I bet you it is a sight. See, we got to go out and check it out one day. Thanks for the invite, man. Appreciate you.
Well, we'll get you down there. Don't worry. Next week, the vacation's over, man. Training camp gets underway. What do you look for from Cam Ward in the first week or two of training camp? What do you want to see from him?
Just progression. I mean, I want to see him keep developing, because when I went to go watch him maybe about 4 or 5 weeks ago, he looked very comfortable. He's making right decisions. And here's the thing that I love about the whole situation is the offense and the defense trust him. So now going forward, I want to see him develop, because now the pads are coming on. And now, you know, when you get into the preseason games, they're going to be blitzing you and you're actually going to get hit in the face. So, you know, when it gets physical, I want to see how he's going to respond. But just watching what I'm seeing, he looks like a guy that's a veteran guy. I'm not saying he's there yet. I don't want nobody to get mad and say he's there yet. But I just think that he's making great, great progress because of what I saw in camp.
I'm excited about watching these rookie receivers, you know, battle in training camp, because I just said to Joe in the last segment, you know, you want Ridley to build off what he did last year. You're hoping Lockett can come in here and give you a little production as a veteran. One of those young receivers needs to be in the fold, though, if not two.
And I think it's going to be Restrepo. I really do, and I know Jared hates it when I say that. I know you got the young two guys that are really doing good. They're going to play because they're going to be on the perimeter playing the X and Z. But when you're talking about a slot guy, a guy that can keep the chains moving, a guy that can make those tough catches and those choice routes that he can run really, really good. So I just think that he is going to be the factor of actually making this team. Why? Because, number one, he's a great route runner. And also, your quarterback trusts him. I think some of the our guys that are going to be out, I think Colton Dowell is going to be out. I think Jaquan Jackson is going to be gone. And it's just going to be a sight to see, because you have so many receivers that can play football.
Chris Sanders is with us on the Chasing Big Joe Show, live from the Omni Nashville Hotel. Dr. Crane, hit it.
Oh, man. Oh, my. Yeah.
Get it?
Oh, my gosh. Hey.
There's your walk-up song this week, baby.
Yeah. Hey.
That'll get you going, right? Yeah. Good job on that.
Hey, no, the funny part about it, that's me and my wife's favorite song. We were listening to it the other day.
Really?
We were jamming in a convertible, man, just because that's our favorite song. That's why I'm laughing so hard. And it's funny.
That song is like 37 years old, too. It's crazy,
37,
man.
37. I had a bad haircut, and I had on some MC Hammer pants. That's how long it was ago.
Hey, is it parachute pants?
Let me ask you this.
Parachute pants, absolutely.
So when the guys show up Tuesday, they have the old conditioning test, and it's something when you do it by yourself when you're at some high school. But when you're doing it and there's a Steve Watterson or the strength coach who's – I mean, I would think – when I had to do it in college, I was in shape, believe it or not. I was scared to death. How do you get past that? Because that's the first big thing that you're doing on the team.
Yeah, it is. Because the thing about it, it's funny, because when I was at Ohio State, I mean, we would do 6 and 7 at a time, and our conditioning test was only 4. But why is everybody scared when we say conditioning test? Because the pressure sets in. I mean, you got guys that have been running them all summer. You got guys that have been consistently doing it. But why are they failing the test? The reason why they're failing the test is because there's so much pressure.
Yeah, no, you're right. I saw guys who were in great shape, couldn't handle it, fell off after halfway through because they couldn't handle conditioning test. It scares the daylights out of everybody.
It does, because the thing about it is, I mean, even when I was running them with Eddie George and Joey Galloway, I mean, we were crushing them in the summertime. And there was times in the summertime we were running like actually 7 and 8 and actually 10. But when the strength and conditioning coach said test, it's the weirdest thing. The guys that actually thought they were going to pass were failing it. But here's the thing that went along with it, that if you don't pass it, you have to continuously do it until you pass it. So I think that's the reason why guys were nervous.
Is it different? I know when you go through mini camps and OTAs, you know, that's one thing you feel like, all right, I know where the bathroom is. I know where the position coach room is. But when they enter Tuesday, now it's real. Is there a completely different feeling?
Hey, Big Joe, you just said it is a different feeling. When I say a different feeling, it means that every play counts. I mean, when you're in OTAs, you're like, yeah, okay, can do a job, but then there's a situation to where if you don't make a play, you could potentially be losing a job or potentially be gone. So, you know, it's just, how can I say it? It's kind of like this quote that I say, pressure bust pipes. It's just so many pressures because there's a lot of guys that are vying for a lot of positions, and if you don't make the plays, you have the potential to be gone. So it's just a different type of pressure.
Were you, and I use this word in a very broad brush, were you struck when you walked in 95 with the Oilers, meaning these are guys you saw on Sunday from your little dorm room in Columbus, and now they're right next to you. I would have been.
It was weird. I mean, I had some wild encounters. I met Haywood Jeffries, and then I met Webster Slaughter. You had Given, them guys that were there, then all of a sudden they got cut. One of those guys got cut. But just seeing the guys that you saw on TV, seeing the guys that you admire, like a Bruce Matthews and different guys like that, it was a kind of surreal thing, because when you walk in the locker room, you know, you're afraid to talk to them because they're stars on the football field. So, man, it's a great experience. But, man, just being in that locker room with those guys was absolutely amazing.
Chris Sanders is with us on the Chase and Big Joe show. You know, something that I guess I've never really – done the math in my head because I was told there'd be no math and really thought about. But if a guy gets hurt, I heard Jared say this the other day. If a guy gets hurt and misses like 2 weeks of training camp, how detrimental that can be because of the number of plays. Like, think about how many plays he's probably going to miss in reps that he's going to miss. I know you can't help it. It's a violent sport. But is that something that a player thinks about of like, hey, I got
to
take care of myself
and make it
through this?
Yes, but you know what, Big Chase, it all depends on who you are. I mean, when you're like a Restrepo or a guy that didn't get drafted, or you got a Colton Dow that got drafted in the 7th round, I mean, every play counts, every rep counts. And if you're not available, they're going to get you out of here. But if you say like you're a Jeffrey Simmons and you're out for 2 weeks, you already know you're going to make the team. But when you have a situation to where you got 1,000 wide receivers and every play counts, if you're sitting out for 2 weeks and you got a hamstring or a situation with your knee, they're going to look past you. Why? Because you're not available. And that's how pressure-filled this thing is, because you got to understand there's only 53 guys that's on a roster, and I think they have – I can't remember. I think it's about 7 or 8 that are on, practice squad. So you better believe with 13 wide receivers and a lot of defensive backs and a lot of linemen and a lot of running backs, every play counts. And if you're sitting on the sidelines, you can change your jersey number real quick and you can actually be out of there.
Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, is with us.
All right, so we've talked a lot about Cam Ward. You know, practice starts next week, Chris. Yeah. And I've told Chase, I want to see him. I want to see him first team all the way to the Broncos game. And the question came up, Chris, if he doesn't start the Broncos game and he's not ready, when we perceive he's not ready, who's to blame for that?
I don't think you really put blame on him, because I think there's going to be a little grace period to where everybody's going to say he's a rookie. But you got to expect him to play, because everybody's talking about what he did in camp. I'm even saying it. And if he's sitting on the sidelines, I don't – that's the tough. I think you got to blame the general manager, man. You got to blame him, because he's the guy that made the pick. He's the guy that said he's our guy. There's a situation to where there's in the draft to where – the Giants offered him a big old deal, and you said, he's our guy. We're not even bothering that. So if he doesn't come out and doesn't play right away, then it's going to be a black eye on the general manager.
Absolutely. And I think Callahan gets a little culpability, too. I mean, he's your guy. But here's the deal, Chris. I think those joint practices with the Buccaneers and the Falcons are just so important. To see how Cam Ward can handle. It's great when you're running over Georgia Tech and Florida State in the ACC, but are you going to do that with Tampa Bay and Atlanta? I don't know.
Well, hey, it's a whole different ballgame. There's going to be fights. There's going to be guys yelling at each other, and those guys are going to try to take your head off. So, listen, if this guy can handle this type of pressure in those type of practices, in those type of things, then he's going to be ready, you know, for the season. Because the situation is like this. A coach is supposed to put a player in the best position to succeed. So why not throw him to the fire and put him starting and going against Tampa Bay and going against the great defenses? So if he shines like that and overcomes the pressure in the fire, then you got something. Because when he goes to Denver, Colorado, he's going to be all right. Why? Because he's been tried in the fire.
All right, you played in preseason games in 95. But when you started in a real game – how much different was that than what you just battled in the preseason?
Yeah, the preseason was tough still, because you got to remember, when I was practicing against Chris Dishman, Marcus Robinson, and then we scrimmaged against Dallas Cowboys where you can hit in practice, and then we went against the Washington Redskins, that was physical. That was taxing. People were getting, you know, in the fights and all those things, and I was prepared. So now when we play the Cincinnati Bengals the first game, I was actually prepared, because why? I was positioning myself to where, okay, you know what? Even though this is my first game and I understand the speed, I already did that in practice, so I was prepared when the situation is at hand.
He is Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program. Chris, it's next week. We'll see you out at camp.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all, man. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. Chris Sanders joining us here on the program, and I guess the Big Red will probably be having camp soon, too.
They already started.
Oh, they have. Okay.
Yeah. The dead period ended last a week ago Monday. So I think they were just like helmets. I think next week they put the pads on.
Yeah. Well, it's high school
football.
I believe they're out in Bellbuckle, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, really? Is that where he's at?
No, I think that's where a lot of those, you know, teams in high school, especially when I was in high school, we went to, I think, Kentucky Wesleyan with Rector.
And did you?
Yeah.
We went 1 year. I thought it was a waste of time.
We did. It's funny. Our friends that are here that were like, have you ever been to Waynesboro? I guess that was basketball. We did a camp in Waynesboro. But we used to go to Camp Christian, which was past Dixon. And
I thought you were going to say something else. Camp Krusty.
Oh, no. We did not go to Camp Krusty. We went to Camp Christian. And what was funny is, like, it was this summer camp that the sun was always over the football field.
Right? How does that work out like that?
It could be raining around everywhere else, but right over the football field. It was.
Were you there the whole week, or 4 days, or 3 days?
Yeah, we were there all week. We'd go on like Sunday and come back Friday or Saturday.
I get it, man, but it's just a waste of time. Kids get homesick, food sucks, all that. Now, we're gonna make you a man out of it. No, I just want to get better at football.
Yeah, I know. I didn't need the bonding and all that stuff. So, but that's what it was. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel here at Kitchen Notes, and I'll have more coming here on Chasing Big Joe 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe 102.5 The Game. Jay Giles Band bringing us in on this Friday. Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, or the Buzz, is always about great service. And, of course, we're at the Omni Hotel at Kitchen Notes, proud sponsor of this here radio program. And enjoying our time here at Kitchen Notes in our little room.
We've been at the Omni basically all week.
Atlanta.
And now here.
Yeah, so it's been fun. Chris Sanders, appreciate him for joining us. And, again, we'll have training camp coverage starting next week. Cannot believe it is here.
Yeah, it's crazy. It was like, who was the last game they played last year? The Titans?
I've tried to put that out of my head.
Last January, was it the Jags or the
Houston?
One of those. Yeah, it's like, oh, we'll see what happens now. Now it's here. I mean, now it's here. And to get ready, as they say, the hay's in the barn. If you're not in shape yet, oh, well.
I mean, week one of the NFL, you got the Thursday game, Cowboys-Eagles, the Friday game, and is that what, in Brazil? The Chiefs and Chargers. And then, as they say, live action.
It's on, yeah, which we love, man. Think about it. You go through, so like with NFL, all right, I know they get the Super Bowl, but the season ends in early January. So it's all January, February, March, April, May, June, July. I mean, so you wait forever. It's something else.
I remember now what I was going to talk. I had this thing in my head, and I was like, oh, let's talk about this next. And then I couldn't remember what it was, and now I did. About an hour ago, Dustin in Hopkinsville texted, maybe Kentucky will fire Stoops and we get Clark Lee. And I laughed at that, but let's say Vandy does have another good year. Now, I don't think he has any – I don't think he wants to leave. I think this is where he wants to be. This is home.
Yep.
But the stock for him is going to be high, right? I mean, there are going to be teams calling because, I mean, you look at what he did at Notre Dame as a defensive coordinator, and now – last year at Vanderbilt as the head coach. I mean, I do think that that's something that, again, if you continue to have success, and that's a good problem to have, Vanderbilt's going to have to be prepared for.
He's a Vandy guy through and through.
Yeah.
So if he has another good year, they're going to lock him up for a long time.
Sure.
Franklin was not a Vandy guy.
No.
He was a springboard guy.
He was a springboard guy. But you know what? He needed Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt needed him. At that point in time.
They sure did. That was his opportunity coming from Maryland as a coach in waiting. And he had, I think if Vandy goes 7-5 into the bowl game, you lock Clark up even longer. He knows. You can bring a coach in. They brought in that awful Rod Dowhower in the 90s. He don't know how Vanderbilt works.
Yeah.
Bobby Johnson a little bit did. Bobby's okay.
Bobby Johnson did. I think Bobby Johnson did. I mean, he played the game the best he could. You know, the athletic – again, and Clark kind of said this, that there's now an internal buy-in, maybe more so than there was before. And I mean that no disrespect to David Williams, the late David Williams. I think he had the buy-in. He did as much as he could, but it was the chancellor and people around him that it took time. And now they have that. You look at the stadium, you look at the practice facilities and everything that they have. So, again, it's a good problem to have that, you know, people are talking about your quarterback, and if you have success, that other schools want your head coach.
We bang on Franklin quite a bit, but he shook that campus to the core.
Yeah.
He's like, here's what you're doing wrong, why you ain't competing, and 3-4 wins. If you're going to play, you got to play this game. I mean, he's responsible for the indoor facility over there. They had no indoor facility before James Franklin. He's responsible because winning begats winning, begats winning, begats winning. Everything comes off of that. So he got the indoor facility. You know, and Mason won some big games from 14 to 20 as well. And now Clark with the success he had. Last year, you know, we were going to last year. We sat on the show and said, that's a 2-win team.
Yep.
They might get 3 wins.
Yep.
And remember we told Kevin Ingram after the Alabama game to please go apologize to Clark Lee.
Sure.
Because we're stupid, which
well,
we know
because
we
I remember we also said, I hope I'm wrong.
Yep.
And guess what? We were wrong, and I was happy to be wrong.
Yeah, that's right. So I think Clark Lee's a Vandy guy. He's from here. He knows her. I mean, where did he bounce to? Mississippi State? You want to go down there and do that? Yep. No, I wouldn't go there. Kentucky,
I've told you who's going to be at Mississippi State.
Jimbo.
I think Jimbo. I think – if they were smart, they would have brought Dan Mullen back, but they didn't do that, and now he seems happy at UNLV, kind of out of the spotlight a little bit. But
it'd be good.
Jimbo looking for a reclamation project. He knows that league. I'm sure he recruited some out of Mississippi when he was at A&M. He'd be all right.
Yeah, and you know he'll get back in because they all want to. You know, what Kiffin and Tom Herman, they all go to AU or the Sun Belt school and where it's not the pressure's not on. Then he bounce off of that. But don't know. Maybe Arkansas. Something.
Yep. Arkansas could be possible.
Get him back
that
in there.
Be open.
God, I feel sorry for whatever school hires him.
I think next year there were no jobs open after last season. I think this year Arkansas, Mississippi State, Auburn could be.
Maybe.
Auburn's kind of 50-50. But
I mean, then on the
Kentucky
list,
maybe.
Florida. He goes 5-7.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's out.
Mike Henry helping move out of town on that one if you go 5-7.
Look, if South Carolina goes the wrong way, he's out too, I think.
It'd be really bad. You got the best. You got perceived the best quarterback.
Sure, and that's why I think it could happen. That if they completely screw it up and go the wrong way, then he's gone.
What about if Venables does terrible and they come calling for Heupel?
Ooh,
everybody loves to go home, and him and Stoops can make up and say, "Hey, I'm sorry. Here's the whole team. You do whatever you want. You hire your GM. Run it. I'll stay out of the way. You call me. You can't." Thomas Wolf says you can never go home again, Chase.
That would be interesting.
Did Thomas Wolf ever go home? We don't know. It's in the book.
No, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Thomas Wolf wrote a book called You Can Never Go Home Again.
Oh, okay.
And then so
– gosh, I like, it's too early to play these what-ifs, but it's not crazy to think about.
No.
But then, but here's the difference. If that happened, Tennessee is a much better job than it was 6-7 years ago.
Oh yeah. Here's two words why Heupel doesn't go back to Oklahoma. What's his name?
Bob Stoops.
No, who's the coach? Scott Frost. Who's the U.S.?
Oh yeah, the UCF.
Yeah,
coach? Yeah. That went
I
back
lost
to
his name.
Yeah, that went to Nebraska.
He had it made at UCF.
What did he say? He was at there was some media event.
Is he back at UCF?
Yes.
Malzahn left.
Yeah, he said. Somebody said, "What did you learn?" And he said, "Quote: Don't take the wrong job." And that's what he did.
I get you're like, all right, we had success here. You're the prodigal son returning home. And
he now he refers to his experience at Nebraska, where he admits he made a mistake taking the head coaching position. He now acknowledges that he was swayed by emotion and the allure of coaching his alma mater rather than making a logical decision based on fit and potential for success, according to Sports Illustrated. The realization has led him to return to UCF, where he feels happier and more aligned with his coaching goals.
That's the same speech you're going to give us when you take a job at Toys R Us.
Toys R Us is gone, man.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. We all had to grow up.
Oh, I thought they came back in some shape, form, or fashion.
They might be on the web, but the store's closed. Like, don't you remember, like, Jeffrey just, like, wandering off?
That's right. I need to get out more. Sorry, man.
Coming up next, we will tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. Put a bow on this week. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. This isn't just a concert. It's a cause. Trintex Rock the Cradle helps give fragile newborns a stronger start and keeps moms close when it matters most. With Tim McGraw live on stage and your support behind every beat, Ascension St. Thomas is turning music into healing. Tickets are on sale now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Chase and Big Joe live at the Omni Nashville Hotel here at Kitchen Notes, and appreciate them for having us this week. We've enjoyed doing the three-hour afternoon version of the Chase and Big Joe show. We'll be back 9 to 11 on Monday with DVD following us. So
Back to normal. We will not be here Monday, though.
No. We will not. That is actually true. It will be Dr. Crane and Mr. Speaker Connor Newt.
Ah, love those guys.
So looking forward
handsome
to that.
Guys.
I have to go to meetings. So I'm not taking more vacation. I'm going to meetings.
You're actually working. Yeah, I am not working, but no, yeah, you're working.
You are working because you're going to see the grandbaby.
I am.
She will put you to work.
She will.
And she will look at you and say, "Granddaddy, go pick that up." And you'll say, "Yes,
ma'am.
Yes, sweetheart.
Right on it. Give me a second."
"Granddaddy, go run out in traffic." "Yes, ma'am." Whatever
you
want.
Need, honey.
With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays. It's brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. All of your commercial construction needs under one roof. JarrettCompaniesInc.com, above and beyond industry standards.
All right, fellas. First on the list, another short list. Don't know why they're all short this week, but they're just that way. Insurance Nerd Day is today, so shout out to those nerds that do insurance. Thank you. National Caviar Day, if you like caviar. Not an eggs guy. National Sour Candy Day, if you like sour candy, eat some of that. Stay away from the Haribo sugar-free gummy bears. Not sour candy, but I've heard it puts your stomach in a spin cycle.
I love your commentary on all of these, by the way.
Hey, if you want a good read, go over to Amazon and just read the descriptions of the Haribo sugar-free gummy bears. It's hilarious.
Great. There goes our Haribo endorsement deal that we were working
on. Thanks for that. Well, sorry, Les.
Yeah. Nelson Mandela International Day is today. And the last two we have here is World Listening Day, for those that listen to the radio, and Perfect Family Day, which is pretty difficult to
exist. Does that exist? I'll tell you that right now. Does not exist. If they had Dysfunctional Family Day, we'd all raise our hands. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. You have to get these within 2 years. It's funny, on the way back from Atlanta, Chase and I listened on the app, 102.5 The Game, which is a great app, celebrity birthdays, and watching our reaction to hearing us, it was cringy, right?
Oh, it was funny. We heard it twice, actually.
We did. And you turn that music down.
One edited, one unedited. It was great.
All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Here we go. First birthday, Barbara Streisand's husband, James Brolin. How old is James Brolin?
78.
84.
85. Dr. Crane knows all about Babs. 1-0. Next up is actress Margot Martindale. If you see her face, she's in a million movies. I think she was in The Leftovers, a few other movies. She might have been on 2.5 Men. That might be the other girl that died. I don't know.
64.
67.
74. Sorry about that. Actress Elizabeth McGovern. She's in some of those really funny Kevin Bacon movie back in the late 80s. Was she in About Last Night with Demi Moore and Rob Lowe? Maybe.
66.
61.
64. Tied at 1. All right, I like this. This is a very bad picture of Vin Diesel. He looks like Diesel. Vin Diesel. How old's Vin Diesel?
51.
55.
58. This picture of Vin Diesel looks like he ate Joe Rogan. does that even look like
it? He ate Joe Rogan.
Looks like he ate Joe. Like Danny DeVito. He does. Danny DeVito was 5 feet tall. All right, let's keep going down here. It's now 1-1. Let's go get a few more here. Boy, computer's working overtime today getting this done. Don't know who that is. She's on that. Actress. Come on, computer. Actress Kristen Bell.
Ooh.
She's married to Dax Shepard.
Kristen Bell, I'm going to say 38.
39.
45.
Dang.
Actress Priyanka Chopra Jonas. She's married to one of the Jonas Brothers. And I'm sure I said her name correctly. Priyanka Chopra Jonas.
37.
I'm going to go 43
exactly.
Dang.
Dr. Crane knows his Jonas Brothers.
Yeah, you do.
Singer Dion. Did he sing Run, Run, Run Away? Is that him?
Know.
Run, Run?
I don't know.
Dion. Not Dion Sanders. Dion.
58.
61.
86. Singer Martha Reeves of Martha and the Vandals.
77.
81.
84. The best musician currently on planet Earth, bluegrass singer Ricky Skaggs. How old's Ricky Skaggs?
74.
81.
71. Actress Anne Marie Johnson. She was on That's So Raven, also in the show The Heat of the Night.
63.
61.
65. 3-2. Dr. Crane. Talk show host, actress Wendy Williams.
58.
61.
61 exactly. Dr. Jeez. Crane's up 5-2. Rapper M.I.A.
56.
41.
50. Singer Ryan Cabrera.
Married to WWE superstar Alexa Bliss.
Is he?
Yep.
Nice.
You
should get this.
47.
45.
43. Dr. Crane bouncing off what Chase said. 6-2. Killing it right there, Dr. All right, now we got five sports birthdays. Olympic skater, she won a gold medal. She's still around. Tinley Albright. There's all the clue you need right there. Tinley Albright.
86.
91.
90. Dr. Crane's up 7-2. Joe Torre.
Because
they said it the other night.
I know. I just looked at this. 84.
86.
85. That's a push. Down to our last three. Chase, you still got a chance, Bubba. Nick Faldo, the golfer.
78.
71.
68. Now your back's, it's 7-2, right? We can still fight hard, though. Deion Branch, former Patriots receiver, Super Bowl champion.
Louisville. 49.
51.
46. Our final birthday, we talked about him this week, Penny Hardaway. Chase, how old's Penny Hardaway?
52.
56.
Gosh, 54, another push. Doesn't matter, though. Dr. Crane wins 7-2. Well done, Dr. Crane.
Good job,
Dr. Crane.
Thank
you very much. You wanted to stick with the ones today, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's fine.
You got double. You almost got Tinley.
That is going to do it for us. Appreciate all of you for listening. Again, we're back at it 9 o'clock on Monday. Jake and D-Mace coming up next.
We love it. To our guys out there, we love the message of talking to you guys, and those guys have reached out to us over the last year and a half. Thank you. We love you. We know you're going through something. We ask that you please talk to somebody. Please talk to someone on your cell phone. You can call or text 988. We said it yesterday. I'll say it every single day. It is harsh, but I don't care. I'd rather listen to your story than go to your funeral. I'll say it again. I'd rather listen to your story than go to your funeral. We love you. You are here for a reason. God has you on this earth for a reason. Our world is a better place because you are here. Please live for the present. Don't worry about what's happening down the road. Live for now. We love you. More importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. Jake and D. Mason for Jared coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.